take.
So, yeah. Is it Motzilech Min HaShemayim something that's going to include that possibility, or is that too much of
a... Motzilech Min HaShemayim?
Tastes like it.
See, the order of brachas is how much preparation goes into the end product.
Right.
Then where does man fall?
Right.
Okay. So first of all, thank you everybody for coming. We'll inaugurate. If there's any topics that you want to learn about, well, then I prepared the first three sugyas already. But please feel free to suggest anything, in particular things. The first thing comes from the Ramban, the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. Talks about why was there a need to count the Klal Yisrael yet again. Right? We have many countings. So really that's the springboard to get into the topic. We'll just jump right in. The first source. And you call Pekudah B'nei Yisrael, and the Beis Avosam, called Yotzei Tzavah B'Yisrael. Hut! Come in. Shalom. How are you? Good. We just started, Ken. Don't worry.
It's your turn to read.
There was a Yiddish class in YU. So the joke was if you got Zibin. Zibin is the number 7. So if you came late to class, you used to have a...
Was this men only? Do I need to like Hill Hazake and like go on the roof?
Okay, we'll make a skylight for you.
You go.
I didn't say, okay.
Did it? I didn't notice.
No, we're not kicking anybody out. So what was I going to say? So the Zibin, if you came late to the Yiddish class, he had a vocab, the first few minutes of class, and he did 10 Yiddish words. And if you came late, they automatically started with 7. Called them Zibin, right? Just so everybody knew that you got Zibin. That was the... So how are we going? I'm not sure. That's okay. Where is it called? Israel. Yeah, okay, fine. Right. The first one. Hutzruch ha-kosuv lahagid mispar ha-klal la'achashi higid ha-pratim. Right, we go through the individual whole thing. Ki nitztave Moshe v'aron shiyadu mispar nifkad ha'am. You have to know how many people there are. V'edu mispar kol shevet, how many in each tribe. Ki kein derech ha-malachim b'monosam es ha'am. Okay, the kings count their people.
It's a census.
It's a census. So Ramban's explaining why do we need a census here. V'midbar sinin rabo, okay, the medrash, re'isi kach. Shemispar shemes l'gulosam, you count them according to their heads. Omelo kodesh baruch ha'am b'monosam b'chavoyed b'gedula. Count them in an honorable way and in a great way. What does that mean? L'chol echad ve'echad, lo tia oimer, don't have rosh mishpacha, kam mishpachoscha. How many people in your family? Kam abon mishcha. Just tell me how many kids are in here. Like they stand outside. Give me the total. Okay, we got, 4 kids here, 2 kids here, whatever it is. Ella kulahon yahon oivrim lefanecha. Every single Jew walked in front of Moshe and Aaron. Ve'ema uvechavod. Ve'ata moina osam. So they would be counted as they would walk in front of the Gadol Hador. Hador hu dichsi, that's what it says. B'mispar shemos. You count them by their names. There's a relationship. I think we're talking about this in Shul on one occasion. That the Gadol Hador, you're not just a number. You're a person. You have a name. There's a famous musician, Rev Lesheva. His name is Yehuda Katz. So he was in Mivaseret. And I remember Motzli Yom Kippur. We were in Mivaseret. A bunch of the guys. We went to his to help him build a sukkah. So after we were talking, and my friend Avram Willig, Rabbi Avram Willig, asked him. He was very close to Shlomo Karabach. So he says, "So what was the first song you ever learned from Shlomo Karabach?" So he said, "The first song I can't tell you, but I remember the first Torah I ever heard from Shlomo Karabach." It was the Torah. Torah is better than the song, right? What's the Torah? He says, if you're ever going to give Musa to somebody, you have to know their name. If you're ever going to talk to somebody in a real way, you have to know who you're talking about. Because if not, it's more about you. Like you see somebody doing wrong, say, hey, kid, what are you doing? Right? It's not about the kid. It's about you. Like you're upset because what they're doing wrong. You say, hey, Moshe, Chanla, what are you doing? So I care about Moshe. I care about Chanla. I care about this person. Mispar Shemos, I care about the name of a person. So if you ever want to connect to somebody, first of all, you have to know their name. So that's what Ramban's saying over here. That Moshe and Aaron had to know them by name. to connect to them, because a name is a relationship. We were joking. This is, now I remember what I said in shul. I said, you know, no one talks in their house, you know, your kids. Hey, number two, stop pulling number three's hair, right? Who poured the ketchup on number four, right? You know, we talk, you have a name. A name is a relationship. And that's exactly what Ramban says. They have to. But now he says more than this, right? In the next line, Mispar Shemus Min Esrim Shon Lamal Ligosom V'yitochin Shinem Ode. Another reason, besides this relationship, Ki Haya Ze Kiderech Hamalchus Oise Bevon LaMilchama. Because they're going to fight a war. Right, Bamidbar, we unfortunately know what's going to be happening in this week's parsha, right? Bahalascha, when we have the these upside down nuns, where Saul of Eichik had a beautiful shir in Bahalascha, where said that, you know, the roller coaster ride of Sefer Bamidbar, everything turns over in this week. You know, you're chalishing because you hear Moshe say to his father in law Yisro, come with us. We're a few days away. We're going right into Eretz Yisrael. You know, we're moving, and all of a sudden we know it's a 40-year delay. But right now they don't know that. We read the Chumash with the end in mind. We know that. We deny ourselves of the drama of re-experiencing the events. And instead, we say, okay, we know it's going to be 40 year. We know it's going to be that. But they're preparing right now because they're going to go to war. There's an imminent arrival in Eretz Yisrael. They're preparing for that. Ki ata haya mezuman and likanes the Eretz lavo b'milchom ve'imalche hemori ashab eva hayardin. They're going to have to fight. Ve'im shar kulam. They're going to have to fight everybody. K'moshe Amar, as it says, no sima nachnu el hamakom. Oh, this week's parsha, right? We're going. We're going. Asher Amar Hashem. We're so close. Yisro, don't leave us. Don't leave. Come with us. V'haya Moshe v'hanesim tzrichim l'das mispra chalutzei tzava l'milchoma. You have to know how many soldiers you have to fight. V'chei mispra. He's arranging them in the way of them. And then we spoke about it, the two largest Shvatim were Yehuda, who was in the front, and Shevet Dan, which was in the rear. Right? So, because that's from a military perspective, that's your smartest thing. You have your forces in the front and the back, and no one's going to come. Ki HaTorah, this is it. I should have underlined it. Ki HaTorah lo tismoch al hanes. You can't rely upon a miracle. You're going to fight a war. You have to have soldiers. Again, we understand. We fight as soldiers, but we have Hashem fighting with us. But you can't just say, okay, I'm going to like sit back and not prepare for that. They had to prepare the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the Dor Dea, this unbelievable generation. They understood that you can't rely upon a miracle. That's the Ramban. And therefore, Shir of Echad Elof, like one is going to take down 1,000. You can't rely upon it. You have to understand that the combat fights. You know, Shechter quotes from the Minchas Chinuch when he writes about the mitzvah of fighting in Melchama. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, how are you allowed to do that? People die. That's Derech Tevi. You have a war. So he says, no. There's a different context, but he says sometimes that the war follows the laws of nature. And unfortunately, people will die in war. But that's the idea, that you're not allowed to rely upon a miracle. So this Ramban connection, we'll go through a few sources now, Gemaras, Rishonim, and then Halach Lamaisa, how to apply this idea of not relying upon a miracle. So we'll the next source is the Mishnah in Pesachim. Yeah.
Especially in terms of the Ramban, I mean, the war conquered Israel, didn't Hashem already promise them it was going to be pretty much a cakewalk, where pretty much they're going to show up, and if they didn't show up on the battlefield, they're going to win?
That's what Sefer Yoshua is all about.
Right, yeah.
That's what Sefer Yoshua is about. You know, we don't just show up. We have to, right?
No. But they won. You know, I mean, as long as they kept the Torah, they just had to show up pretty much, and they'd win, right? At least
there were decisive military victories, but it wasn't a cakewalk. It wasn't just you know we're here, everyone starts running away. They really fought. There was battles. It wasn't you see that throughout Sichon and Og, that there really were real battles. Yeah, it wasn't just a joke. You know, play make believe, and now we're gonna think. But they had a special siyata d'shemaya. Yeah. So the Mishnah in Pesachim talks about the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. They had three groups. So it says a Pesach Nishchat b'shlosh kitos, right? Three groups. Shneemar Mishchu also kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. So you have three groups, right? Three names: Kahal Adas Yisrael, Kahal Eid of Yisrael, Nichnasa Kas Rishona. The first group would go in to the Beis Hamikdash. Nizmalas Hazara. It'd be full. Now the next line says Nalu Dalsos Hazara. They would close the gates of the Hazara, and then that's it. Now. We'll see, the Gemara is going to talk about it. It had to be three groups. So How exactly were the gates closed? Right, Tiku, Hiriyot, really, they blew shofar, fine. Hakohanim, Omdin, Shuros, they had lions, Videhem, Vazichei Kesev, Vazichei Zahav, they had these cups, Shur Shakula Kesev, Kesev, Shur Shakula Zahav, Zahav, Velohaye, Ma'orvin, then mix them up, Velohaye, Labzichin, Shulayim, they didn't have handles on it, right? Shema, Yanuchan, Vikar Shadam, they didn't want it to put it down in the blood become congealed. So, Gemara number three discusses this Machloikis and this Samach Daldam and Beis. What exactly happened to these gates, and how it relates to our topic, right? Itmar, it said like this: Abai Omer Nin Alu Tanan. So Nin Alu means the gates were closed. It's like Nifal, right? On their own. By the way, that's the whole machloek is what Ne'ila is. Is Ne'ila the gates of the Azar, or is the gates in Shemayim that are being closed? But Ne'ila, something's being closed up. So Abai learns Nin Alu, that the gates closed on their own. Rava Omer no alin tanan. No, they closed them. People physically closed the gates. My benayhu. So what's the nafkamina where the gates closed on their own or people actually did it? Ike benayhu. The nafkamina is lismach anisa. Are you allowed to rely upon a miracle? Right. So what's the miracle? So by Omer ninalin tanan. Right. Kaam da ailem ailu with samichin anisa. Whoever came in, and nevertheless, the gates would close automatically in order to ensure there would still be, like the way Rashi learns, there would be still filbri, there'd be shalosh kitos, there'd be three groups coming in. You know, it's the bouncer, right? Someone, you know, you made the cut, again, the next one goes in. Rava Omar, no alinsa, no, people had to do it, lo samchin anisa. You can't rely upon a miracle. What? The gates are going to close automatically? You got to do it yourself. There's a big Musar void in here, you know, when personal initiative, when you do something, when you expect Hashem's going to make everything work out on its own. Abai says we do rely upon miracles, and therefore just the gates will close. We can just keep doing our thing. And Rava says, no, we have to do it ourselves. So who's the Rambam Paskin like? Machlok is Abai and Rava. The Rambam in next source, Hilchos Korban Pesach. The Rambam says, you'll tell me who he Paskin's like. How did it work? Erev Pesach. Nichnasa hakas rishona ad shnismal lehazara v'noalin dalsos hazara. So who's that? Who's v'noalin?
Noalin
would
be active.
Is not an ace. It's Rava, right? He quotes Rava. Rava said noalin, right? Abai said nin alu. They were kind of, so the Rambam paskins like Rava in some chalach an ace.
So does the Ramban,
right? The Ramban said also the idea that we don't rely upon. So that's the Rambam. Now this idea in Rishonim is that we don't rely upon miracles. We have to see that we have to do. Now Hashem's not going to help us, but you can't just say, oh, okay, you know, well, one person's going to pursue 1,000. The gate's going to close on their own. So a few Gemaras now that bring out this idea. There's a famous Gemara in Tainus. Source number 5. There was a rickety wall, the Hav bin Hardoi. It was in the town of Nehardoi, which is a major Jewish center in the times of the Gemara. To lo havi chol of Rav Shmuel Tusa. Right? And Rav Shmuel did not want to walk past this because they were afraid he could fall down any minute. Right? So even though we'd been there for 13 years, nevertheless, they were hesitant. You know, you never know. You can just imagine, like, two guys, ah, come on, it's been there forever. No, you know, no problem. It's just going to, who cares? Right, Yom Echad Ikle Rav Adar Bar Av Ahava L'Hosam. So one day Rav Adar Bar Ava was there, and he was a big tzaddik. So Amar Le Shmuel Rav Nisimar Nokif. Right, we have to walk around this bad dangerous wall. Amar Le Lo Tzrichna. Nope, we don't have to. Ha In the Deika Rav Adar Bar Ava B'Hadein. He's with us. The Nafi Zechuse V'Lo Mistafina. Right, he's with us. We don't have to worry about the tzaddik. The wall will not fall on this tzaddik. Rav Una Havale Hahu Chamra. He had, I remember I quoted this in Shul, right? Rav Huna had a side of wine, right? Buhu Besa Ra'iya, and it was the house was condemned. The house was going to collapse. So what did he want to do? He had to get his wine out of the house, but you're not allowed to put yourself into a Malkum Sakana. So how are you going to get your wine out of the house? Uboy Lafnuye, so he wanted to empty it. Aile l'Rav Adabar Ahava l'Hosam. So he invites this big tzaddik, Rav Adabar Ahava, to the house. Mashche b'shmaitz, and he starts talking and learning with him. He does not realize, like, why he's there. They're talking and learning. Adafuni boss, right? Adafuni, until he was able to exit. You know, so they're like, imagine just sitting around, they're learning and talking over, you know today's daf yomi, they're saying over what's happening. And meanwhile, everyone else is like downstairs pulling the wine out of the cellar. And then now the drasha is over. He gets it. Busted the nafik. So they finished. They went out. Nafal besa. The house collapsed. So it was really only standing in zechus of the tzaddik, right? So he didn't realize he'd been set up, right? Whatever, I'll tell stories a different time. Okay. Argish Rav Ada Bar Ava Ve'ikpid. So he realized what happened. He was upset about it. That his zechuyos are being used up from the fact that it took away from him. Sovelike Haida Omer Rav Yanai La'olam Al Yamud Adam B'makom Sakana. A person should never purposely put themselves into a dangerous place. V'yomer Oisin Li Nes. I said, God's going to do a miracle for me. I can put myself in a dangerous situation. I rely upon this. Shem in Oisin Lo Nes. Maybe God's not going to do a miracle for you, right? The im ting salomar, and if you can tell me, osalonis, right? And Hashem, oh no, God did your miracle. Menachilom zichiosav. You're going to take away from your spiritual bank account. So you put yourself in a situation, that's the whole in song chnalanes. Why? Maybe God's not going to save you, you're going to die. And even if you are going to get saved, you just pulled out of your spiritual bank account. You don't want to cash in if you don't have to. Omer Chanan, my crow, what's the positive? Ketant mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes. Right? Yaakov says, I became small. I became reduced because you did so many miracles to me. I'm not interested in doing that. So the Gemara has any questions so far?
There seem to be two things operating here.
Yeah.
There's not being the samach and neis, but then there's also yishmartem nafsha seichem ma'od. It's two different things.
It's probably the same thing, no? To protect yourself is not relying upon a miracle. To not put yourself in a makom sakana is try to miss nafsha seichem.
Then why would they both have to be mentioned? Because of yishmartem nafsha seichem ma'od, to show you ad kan, this is how carefully you have to be.
I think we're talking about regular. Means, like, how far do you take this? You know, what, you can't go in a car, because I think statistically more people die in cars than they do in a plane, right? So I can't get in a car that's ain't some kanal hanes. So it has to be something that's, well, we'll see in a few minutes probably, but it has to be something that's dangerous, that we consider to be really called a sakana. There's certain things that everybody does, and like the Chazon Ish asks, why do we don't say tefillas haderech when just driving anytime you get in a car? Dangerous. Car is dangerous, especially teenagers driving. Very dangerous. But we don't, so it could be a little bit subjective as well with benching Gomel, etc. It's a similar idea about did you feel your life was really in danger? I think the Rav said that he used to say Birkas HaGoma when he fly from Boston to New York. Then after a while, he stopped, right? Because he didn't feel. It's habit, you know. He didn't do as much. So one has a discussion about that you rely upon a miracle. Now again, modern day science does not necessarily conform to this. But the Gemara is talking about the Benos Tzolofchad coming up in a few weeks in Parashas Pinchas. The Gemara says, goes to the whole drush. It says in the next source, Baba Basra. Kuf Yud Beis, Tzabnos Tzlafad Chachmanios Hain. They were wise. Darshanios. They gave good drushes. And Tzidkanios Hain. They were also righteous women. So it goes more goes how they knew each one of them. We'll pick up on the third one. Tzidkanios Hain. How do we know that they were righteous? Shlo Nisu El Lahagun Lahen. They only wanted to get married to people who were appropriate to them, who were on their level. Tani Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yaakov, Afilu Kitano Shebehen, Lo Nisas Bi Pachuso Me Arbaim Shana. So the Gemara says that really a woman's not supposed to wait till she's 40 to get married. Fertility issues, a woman can't give birth after 40. We understand nowadays that's different, but back then it wasn't. So, but nevertheless, they waited because they didn't want to compromise and get stuck with a nachschlepper, a bum. They wanted proper shidduch. If you get married before 20, you can give birth up until you're 60. 20 will go up to 40. Bas arboim shuv ein yoledes ela mitoch shitzit konios hein nase lahen neis. Because they were noshim tzidkanios, they were able to wait until they were 40 to get married, and a neis happened for them. Ki yocheved. How old was yocheved?
120. Right? 130.
Not bad, right? 130, give me more. Okay. So they said, look, since they were Nashim Tzidkanios, they rely upon a miracle? So everything we built up to now, you can't rely upon a miracle. And they said, no, we're not going to get married until we're 40. Nowadays it doesn't work out like this, but back then, he says, if you're not going to give birth, if you're not married before 40, you're not going to give birth. But they did. The youngest one didn't get married until she was after 40. So they see that they were relying upon an ace. So we'll have to keep that in the back of our mind, that we see that there are some people that seem to be relying upon Nisim. But we just said not, right? The Ramban says not, the Rambam says not, and yet the Benos Tzlofchad were. Yeah? There's a famous Gemara, I'm not going to read the whole thing in here, but the Gemara about Schar Mitzvah B'Hayah Malaika, the famous Gemara about the person who's doing Kibbut Ave'im and Shulach HaKein, and then the same thing that he died. Well, I'll just move to the next source for a second. I'll show you the Gemara in Brachos, which fits very well with what these Benos Tzlofchad did. The Gemara is, you see what's on the third line, underlined, Tan Rabbanan. Maisa the Mokum Echachai Orud, there was like this type of snake. Haya Mazik es Habrios. It was going around and it was killing people, it was harming people. Boil Hidil Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. So they went to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza and they told him, by the way, in this particular place there's a snake that's going around and killing people, hurting them. Omalehem Hareu Li Es Choro, show me his hole where he lives. Hareu Es Choro. They took him. By the way, Rabbi Chani Mendoza, this is where this snake lives. Nosan Akvo Al Piachor. He put his ankle over the hole where the snake was going to come out. Yotzo Venoshcho. And the snake bit him. Umes. And the snake died. Nosan Umes Oso Or. That snake died. Not al kiss, he put it on his shoulder. They have the base medrash. He walks into the shul in the base medrash with a dead snake on his shoulder. Amalehen, and he says to them, Ru'u, I want you all to see something. There's a lesson over here. Ru'u b'ni, like, look at my children. Ain arod memis. A snake doesn't kill. El ha'chet memis. It's a sin that kills. That's not the meaning. So the snake was just a shliach. The snake was the one who was killing people, and therefore these people did chatoim, and therefore that's why they died. But it wasn't the snake that was killing him. That's just like a stick in the hand of the master that's hitting them. But Osa Shah, at that moment, when Rechim and Asa came into the base measure and taught this, Omer, they said two things. Number one, Oilo la Adam Shapago ben Oro. Woe to the person who meets a snake. V'oilo la Orod, and woe to the snake, Shapago Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. And woe to the snake that ever meets up with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. So the Marashah underneath asks the Kasha. See what's on the line? Heich amud b'makom sakana v'samach al atzmo al hanes. How could Rabbi Chanina Mendoza do this? In samach al hanes, right? And yet, nevertheless, he goes and he what's it called? He puts himself in a dangerous position, yeah. And he's okay. God's gonna do a miracle. God's gonna go. So
somehow
he knew, right? He wasn't the foolish person over here. So now we'll go to the Drashas Haran.
And so how does the Marsha answer that question?
He just leaves. He opens it. He leaves it open. We'll see the. It's not in the source sheet, but we'll explain the Sifsei Chaim. Sifsei Chaim is Reb Chaim Freelander. He quotes from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was the Mashgiach in which yeshiva? In Gateshead, right? He's in Ponovich also. So he gives a shmooze where maybe we'll do it now. Just, he explains. Well, actually, this is the Drashas Haran because it'll work. It'll work. Well, with what he's doing, this Drash Haran coming up in a few weeks, talking about what exactly was the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So it's unclear. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings 10 different suggestions as to what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu did. So if you look, the Drash says Aval Mipnei Shechait Moshe Bezeh Inyan Sosu Meod. It's very closed. We have no idea really what happened. Ad Shenembo Svoros Rabos. Everyone in the brother has a different opinion as to what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. So Reisi Laharachiv Hadaver. I want to expand upon this, but Lahagi Daiti. I'll tell you my opinion on this. The Achim Bezeh Shlosh Hakdamos. But I have to give three introductions. We're not going to do three. Just where the first one is what the Drash Haran is going to. We'll focus on Hakdama Rishon. The first thing is like this. Hashem wants the world to run according to a set, we'll call it nature, teva, and Hashem does not want to have to change that hanhaga, that type of way he runs his world. Shehateva yakar be'enav, it's so precious and special in his eyes. Lo yishnehu el litzorach hechrich, unless it's absolutely necessary, right? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, he explains this whole idea, right? Okay, I'm going to read the rest of it inside. Basically, that's the yisod that the Ran tells us. That Hashem wants to
stick to nature.
Wants the world to run according to the laws of nature that He has set up. So now, this is the first time we're contrasting Nes versus Teva. We see the world running according to nature, and we get used to it, right? There's a famous Ramban, I think, at the end of Bo, that says that just because an event happens over and over again, just because it happens so many times, that doesn't mean it's any less of a miracle. The fact that the sun rises every single day, that's also a miracle. Now, we get excited when the sun stands still, right? And we oh, wow, a miracle. Hashem changed it. But says the Ramban, the natural world is also a miracle. So for tzaddikim, this layer of Dessler explains it. When you have a tzaddik, they see miracles in the world of nature, and they see the miraculous, like they see. There's no difference in them between a miracle happening in the regular teva. The fact that the sun rises is the same thing as just as big of a nace as the sun would stand still. For a tzaddik, they're on that level. You know, it's interesting. There's a son of Chabad sefer that when we see something that breaks the rule of nature, we get very excited about it. So that's mida keneged mida. Because we see this as being something, oh, God changed something, so then we change ourselves. We're normally not running around all excited. We go, oh, wow, Hashem did something new, so wow, I go out of my kelim, I go b'li gavul, I go out of my boundaries, I get very excited about this. But at Tzaddik, Rav Chanina ben Dosa understood. We have a famous Gemara where he said his daughter came home, and she was so upset. It was a Shabbos, he came home, and she was so upset. She said, what's the matter? So I accidentally lit vinegar instead of oil. This is no problem. Hashem commanded that oil should light. He commanded vinegar should light. And the vinegar lit up that Shabbos and he used that. So what do you mean? How could you rely upon a miracle? So he says, no, what's the reason why oil lights? Hashem created the world that way. There's no hope. There's no real reason why this one chemical substance should light and this one chemical substance shouldn't. Am I right about the physics?
You don't want me to talk about this.
Am I wrong? No, I want to hear. Am I wrong?
There are reasons, but
keep going. I want to understand this correctly. Hashem put something into the teva, right? That this substance should be flammable, this substance would not be flammable.
Keep going, it's okay. Really, the combustion is really just a symbol of an idea of how quickly the reaction is happening and the amount of energy given off by the bonds, right? So there are things that you have chemical reactions where energy is given off and you don't have fire.
Okay.
Right? But it happens to be that there's such a rapid reaction, so then it's combustion.
But that's what the Nesor Hashem made that one liquid combustion.
Right. So is there an example? Is there anything why this...
I'm not sure if vinegar could theoretically burn or not. I have to think.
This is chometz. I'm trained that chometz is vinegar, though, right?
So, I have to think about
okay. But the idea is that he's saying, for him, the fact that this one thing burns, this one thing doesn't burn. What would be something that's non-combustible? It doesn't burn. What would be an example?
Water.
Okay. So it could have been. He could have said, "Well, let water burn." You know, the fact that Hashem built the laws in on this particular substance, when you realize that the nature itself is a miracle, it's no difference one subject matter versus the other. So that's what he's saying to Rav Chanina ben Dosa, saying to his daughter. So that's what we want to answer. That's what Dessler explains this Gemara over here. Why was it standing in Malkum Sakana? Because there was no difference. A tzaddik doesn't see any difference in the Hanhag of Hashem, whether it's a Nes or whether it's Teva. They just see Hashem in everything. It's two sides of the same coin, but they don't see more. There's no more of a revelation of Hashem when he does a miracle than when he does nature. Right? Rabbi Kiva Tatz was once speaking, and he's a Talmud of Moshe Shapiro. That's all. And somebody once came to Moshe Shapiro and had a whole story of Hashkacha Pratis, that he was supposed to like flying halfway around the world to meet somebody, and it turns out that exact person was on the flight next to him. It was a whole thing, and he missed it, and like everything worked out perfectly. The guy was so, wow, nice. And the Moshe was just like looking at him. Miracle, Hashkacha Pratis. Ma, ta rotze lehavi rash HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhigat olamo? You want to bring me a proof that God's running his world? Okay, so instead of flying halfway around to Hong Kong, you happen to be sitting next to the person you had to meet right here. Okay. Someone who lives behind the scenes, right, and sees like the marionette dolls. Okay, so on that level of recognition, like by them, it's a no-brainer. Of course, Hashem's running his world. For us, we're on that madrigal, so we get so excited. We go out of our bonker. We go, wow, God did a miracle. We get so excited. It's true, but the tzaddikim are on a higher level. So that's what the Drasha Zaron is explaining. Hashem doesn't want to change the laws of Teva. It's considered a greater miracle to find Hashem in Teva. That's an Ein Sam Kanal HaNeis. Yeah, you need a miracle. You need a miracle to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can find a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the actual Teva itself. You don't have to be relying upon something that breaks or changes, which Hashem says, the Ron says Hashem doesn't like doing that. No, but how long are you allowed to do this? In other words, if you say, okay, so I'm a big tzaddik, so I can go bungee jumping, I can go, you know, whatever I want, I find God on the I'm dangling upside down, you know, a few thousand feet up in the air. So there's an Encyclopedia Talmudit. My son told me over Shabbos that they actually got a big grant to finish this up. Did you hear about this?
No.
There's a big gevir. He gave $7.5 million. Almanas that they have to raise another $5 million on their own to complete the project. They have to put out 3 volumes a year to finish it. They have a whole. They know what the entries are. And I think the last entry is with the tough is Tisha B'Av. Hopefully by the time we finish it, they'll just Tisha B'Av will talk about something that used to be, right, back in the Halavai. So on Ein Somch Al HaNeis, they're up to Aleph already, so we have Ein Somch Al HaNeis in the cycle of Tamid. So he has this idea, how far are you allowed to do this? So we know the idea is you cannot, but it's underlined, B'malkim Shah Sakana Brua Kaviyah Hezekah. If you have a open, dangerous situation, you are not, I don't care what tzaddik you are, you're not allowed to put yourself into that situation. The way that some of the posts can discuss, you wouldn't lie down on a multi-lane highway and expect to be emerge unscathed. It's ridiculous. It's a mokum hezer, right? Kaviyah hezekah. So you can't do it. Ein somch al hanes, right? Ve'osa lalos asulim ru'uya b'shvil l'kayim mitzvah shluch hakein. Okay, we talked about going on the dangerous thing. In the next paragraph, it's underlined, b'mokum shechashash hasakana hu rachuk ma'od. What about where it's a very, very distant thing? As we talk about cars, right? Most people, I don't know the numbers, but most people who get in the car to go to the store to buy a bottle of milk, okay, nothing happens, right? So that's a very, it is dangerous, but it's rachok mode. Yesha omer, shomer pesoyim Hashem. You know what that means, shomer pesoyim Hashem?
Hashem guards our footsteps.
Hashem guards a pesi is a fool.
A fool.
God protects the foolish people, right? In other words, I'm doing something that, it is dangerous, but if, it's like this, the way the poet explained, if everybody's doing it, and no one's getting hurt, so you can say this rule of Shomer Pesoyim Hashem, God's going to protect the people who are being foolish and getting in a car. People being foolish and doing, it's dangerous, right? So there, but again, like you're saying, the person can get a mitzvah if in my car, like you start driving for like 10 seconds and that annoying like bing goes off because you forgot to buckle up, right? So you can beat the bing. You can think to yourself, I'm doing a mitzvah deraisa, which Martin Miller says, nafsho seichem. Every time you buckle up, you're doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, protecting your health. The Chafetz Chaim talks about this, about having kavana for menial acts that we do. You know, you're leaving a room, you turn the light off, and you realize you're saving money. You have a driver, and you pay them the taxi, the Uber, you pay them their money. B'yom titein schar, you get a mitzvah d'oraisa, paying a worker on time. So a person can get a mitzvah like this, but you go on this. We can apply this rule of shomer pesoyim Hashem lahatir lismoch al zeh shloyara mechshol. So that's our heter for doing things that are dangerous, getting in an airplane and flying. Most people do it, and it's not necessarily to be. There is some danger involved, obviously, but it's not considered to be, you know, outlandish. It's not in contrast to the first paragraph kviyah hezekah, where it's like a, you know, lying down on a highway. That's ridiculous. That's mamash
asur. Also, because it's not something people do. Right? Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's part of the
people. People don't sit there and lie down on roads, multi-lane highways. That's not a thing.
Right.
Right.
Driving is a thing.
Is smoking cigarettes a thing?
So it's an interesting question. It all depends upon what's considered where the dividing line is in relative risk.
Right. That's exactly what it depends upon.
So
what about cigarettes?
Again, it depends upon what the most would say, what's relative risk, okay, and where, what's the second one's not.
Yeah. Someone once told me, I don't know if it's true, but someone once told me that the Gedolia Dor, maybe a good or whatever, got together. They were about to usher cigarettes, but decided against it at the last minute because it would be so too difficult for people to quit.
Uh-huh. You could still usher people from starting, so.
So yeah. Let's see. Let's see what the Gedolim say. We have the Gedolim. We have the Moshe.
Yeah.
Number 11, Igros Moshe. This was before the Surgeon General, right? Zion Chanukah Tuf Shin Chaf Dalid, December 17th, 1963, right? Literally, right before it, right? You have it in here that the German was on January 11th of 64. Okay, fine. So let's look what Ramosha writes. It's short at the bottom. Hine, bedover ishun cigarettes. Vaday mikev and sheish chashash lahascholos mizeh min haroy lahazir mizeh. Appropriate one should be careful about this. Avalomer she'oser, that it's not allowed. Mi iser sakanto, right? It's dangerous. Mi kaven she doshu bo rabim, doshu bo rabim. Right? Many people, everyone's doing this. Again, in the '60s, everybody smoked. It was. In fact, Yitzchak Cohen used to say that you could tell who the Talmidim were because the Talmidim used to smoke the same brand of cigarette the Rebbe did. That was like, oh, Rebbe smokes Kaas, I smoke a marble, I smoke caramel. I'm a Talmid. Right? But then my Rebbeim tell me they used to smoke cigarettes in Shir. The Rebbe smoked, the Talmidim smoked. So Ramosha is just quoting on the reality. In 64, people, everybody was smoking, right? Kavar Isa B'Gemara, right? B'chi HaGavna. In this case, we would say Shomer Pesoyim Hashem. Okay, since if everyone's doing it, right? Again, it's not necessarily the reality nowadays, but back then, 50 plus years ago, Avada, everyone was smoking. They didn't know. They didn't know it wasn't that. I remember in school, they used to show us like old cigarette. It's also to make even cigarette commercials now. You're not allowed to, right? Because it's they want to hook the kids. But they have anti-cigarette commercials, right?
Yeah.
I remember in L.A., they had the Marlboro Man, right? And like him and his friend are riding off in the sunset. And you see him says, "Bob, I have emphysema." That was like the anti-cigarette commercial. So Reb Moshe talks about Reb Chaim Ozer, the dying in Vilna, right? So he says, "Ha'asal svir leil rabbonin tesamchin hashom p'soim Hashem mishum dezeru chashash rechok." That's in a case where it's a very distant danger. Umiuta de miuta, right? It's like such a small amount of people that does that. You can't say that nowadays with cigarettes. Everybody knows what it does. It's like an obvious saying that the many held that that you're not allowed to start smoking. For people who it's too difficult to stop, so it's not to say them. Rav Shachter holds it's also. Rav Shachter, you have to stop. You have to stop if you smoke. They once asked, I think it was Rav Schwab. They asked Rav Schwab, I believe it was, that I saw this one of the English, like maybe it's the RJJ Jones, some of the, oh, no, it was the Kuntras, I think Rabbi Rosner, Dr. Rosner put out about cigarette smoking. And they said, they asked Rav Schwab, when he was an old yeshiva, says, "Why is the Rosh Yeshiva smoke?" He says, "It's not the Rosh Yeshiva who's smoking. It's the 16-year-old boy inside of the Rosh Yeshiva who's still smoking." That was a very powerful answer. Len of the Tzitz Eliezer. Lo'oze, he's more even starker than that. Near Boror. It seems clear. Lilot Sail Shel Sofek, without even a shadow of a doubt. You ever know a shout out? Sail Shel Sofek. Shout out. Ki ain makom lizborich belev laharos ki hiyos ha'ishun rabim doshim bo ay, because a lot of people are smoking. In kein yesh lahaschil, therefore you can lahachim. Sorry, at alzev amay merchazah kam komis al minhag olam. If everyone's doing it, makom sheish lachush lasakana shepasuk b'avomru ha'ine de doshim bo rabim. Since everyone's doing it, shom posayim. It's a typo. Should be posayim Hashem. Delo amru kein el makomos delo nizgala
b'hosam. This is what you just said.
Yeah. The mitzius lo harasa al hifuchu shel davar va'adraba rosh rabim v'chein shleimim avru v'lo nizuku. Many people are doing it. Avabekagon de nidon shlefanenu. What we have in front of us, the evidence. Asher beikar be'ezos hashanim ha'achronim, these last years lo or hamechkarim, the scientists, the madim, the rafum, the doctors are telling us hashanim nizgalo b'madim b'mavilin hezika haguf. They tell you that it's killing yourself. They print it. They are required by law to put that this is this causes cancer. Marabim asichunim, the dangers asher heishun goreim beknafal, how much smoking harms a person. Im kain says the Tzitz Eliezer bevadai ubevade shebesure hu dehelim ein mikol zeh lepate kalach yad v'lomer kigam al kigoin zeh nemer shom pesoyim Hashem. No way. You can't say that. He says, you cannot say that, by the way, I'm just going to smoke cigarettes now and God's going to protect me. He says that svara is no longer applies. So, Bekitzur, what did we see? That the idea of Ein Socha L'Neis was brought by the Ramban as the reason for why we had to count the Klal Yisrael, because we had to fight a war, and war goes al pi derech hateva. We have tremendous siyata shemaya baruch Hashem, but you have to prepare for the battle. You have to train. You can't rely that God's gonna, one person's gonna chase 1,000. We saw the machlokas abayin and Rav and the Rambam pasuk like Rav with the closing of the doors by the Korban Pesach that you cannot rely upon a nice. You cannot rely upon an ace. A few gemaras that seem to be implying that. So maybe these are people who are big tzaddikim, nashim tzidkanios, the benos tzlafchad, rechne bedosa. But even though we saw others in Chazal that did not want to, because they realized even if an ace was going to happen, then Menachem and Zechuyos, that it was going to pull away from their Olam Haba. They didn't want to do that. And the svar as to why Hashem doesn't like that, Hashem wants the world to run. The avodah is to find Hashem within the regular Derech HaTeva. And that's what it means when we say in the Aleinu, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we know is Haya Hove V'Yehiye. God was past, present, and future. It means without any boundaries. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hu Elokim, is the Hashem that appears Elokim. It's really Hey, is the Gematria HaTeva, 989. The God of that's transcendent is really the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not a stira, it's actually the greatest revelation. The famous mashal is brought in the Chabad Sfarim. Now let's say you have a Rebbe who's teaching a group of second graders. The Rebbe's big Talmud Chacham. And he wants to say over a Rashi. If the Rebbe would give over this Rashi the way he understands it to these second graders, there's no way they can ever get on his depth. So what does the Rebbe do? If the Rebbe, it doesn't change his own understanding, but he has to constrict and hold back and give a parable and give a mashal to distill it so that the child will be able to understand what the Rebbe's talking about. Because if the Rebbe gives over from his perspective, there's no way. So therefore, he holds back and he constricts, but that constriction is not hiding it. That constriction is really enabling a Gilui to happen. He's enabling a revelation of the idea, of the concept to come across through the constriction. Hashem Hu Elokim. Through Hashem constricting himself from within the laws of Teva, within the laws of nature, it's not that Hashem is hiding himself, he's holding back in order to enable the greatest revelation to happen. And that's the avodah, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the laws of Teva. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'll end with a cute story. In 1968... in West Point, the military academy, they designed for their senior thesis for their graduating officers, they had to reconstruct the military campaign of the Golan Heights that had happened the previous year in 1967 in the Six-Day War. And that was, they gave the maps, they gave the topography, and the senior class, that was their graduating thesis, they had to design how to recapture what the Israelis did. So they looked it over for a few weeks and they went back and said, it can't be done. You can't. So the teacher, whatever, the, I don't know, call him the general, whatever, the professor, he says, give me the, I'll show you how to do it. And he took all the maps, took everything back. He goes, you're right. He had to get, in the West Point graduate, they had to give a new senior thesis assignment to the graduating class a year afterwards, because according to the laws of Teva, it couldn't have happened. I did. We did. There it is. Hashem Elokim. It all happens. All the brachos come through. But it doesn't mean you don't fight your wars. We fight our wars. They had a military. They had things. They did everything. But we have a special siyata neshamah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu helps us. Okay. Shkoyahoy, thank you for coming. Emir Hashem, for next week, planning as Parshas Shlach. So planning on discussing the idea of Kivrei Tzadikim, because Kalev runs to Hebron to go daven for them. So how does that work? What davening? Are we davening to the tzaddikim? We're davening to Hashem at the grave of tzaddikim. It's a very misunderstood subject. So, mitzvah Hashem, that'll be the sugya for.
Every
Uman.
Yeah,
Uman. Rambam Yosef said, "Who wants to go spend the Rosh Hashanah in a cemetery?" 40,000 people want to go spend it in their cemetery. She's going over here. Take more brownies. My daughter's going to be upset if there's leftovers.
Yeah, she's right. In 1948, Sfat was basically deserted, except for some old Sadiq men. Hamach came in, 60 young kids to defend it, and it was an ace that the Arabs left. So the British commander comes up to the chief rabbi and says, "How did this happen? You know, they had this army with these kids, and how did you win?" He says, "Well, we did what was natural for Jews. We davened. Then we did the unnatural. We fought." hand in hand.
So
it's your last source. Is that if it's known and out, it's no longer Hashem is guarding, he's guarding the fools.
Right.
So go back to this one.
Sorry, I'm going to chat you.
Sorry. And I don't, not only did you get out,
he's got another letter.
So there's not
Yeah.
Not only did you know you wouldn't be hurt,
right?
But could turn